This is Storage Unpacked. Subscribe at storageunpacked.com.
This is Chris Evans recording a Storage Unpacked podcast at Commvault Go in lovely Denver with Chris Miller. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Chris. It's nice to be at 6,000 feet and breathing difficulties.
It is different, isn't it? It's a bit of an interesting thing being a mile high and coping with the altitude.
And we're in a state which has legalised marijuana, so we could be really high if we wanted to.
That is true. I did say something about magic mushrooms as well. That's another thing they were trying to do, so they seem to be on a bit of a roll with that. Anyway, we're actually here at Commvault Go, which is in a lovely hotel and conference centre, which I think is only 6 months old. It's amazing, isn't it?
Apparently it's built in December last year, and the budget was $800 million. First phase of firing was for 1,500 people. This place is out of the world.
Yeah, amazing. Now, we're at Commvault Go, which is the annual event that Commvault put on for their customers, partners, and obviously people like us, to hear what their new technology is going to be for the next 12 months, talk about, you know, customer challenges, you name it. And one of the things we've seen this week is the announcement of a new product, we'll call it for now, but actually it's a bit more than that. We'll come back to that in a minute. But a new product called Metallic, which is basically a SaaS offering for backup. What was your first thoughts when you saw that, Chris, about what you thought it would be, how it would work, and what the challenges would be?
I thought it would be Commvault's complete backup and recovery implemented as a cloud-native application running in AWS or Azure and providing equivalent services to complete backup and recovery to Commvault customers, but it's not. Although it's a SaaS operation and although it's cloud-native, it's offering a limited set of services.
Yes.
So it backs up files, SQL Server, things like that. It can also back up Office 365 services, and that's basically it for the moment.
Yes, and it does some endpoint backup, doesn't
endpoint
it, as well?
Endpoint protection as well, yeah. Forgetting that.
Yeah, so I think, first of all, I mean, when I looked at it, I thought, okay, it's another SaaS offering. We already have some on the market already. We know we've got Druva, and we've got Clumio, and there are other vendors that do some of this stuff on a much smaller scale. So they'll do, for instance, just the Office 365 backup stuff or the endpoint backup or whatever. But obviously, you highlighted there something very interesting as to whether this was a lift and shift of the existing technology into the cloud. Now, from what we've been told, it is not a lift and shift per se, but it is taking, and I'm going to have to use air quotes here, but nobody can see it, Commvault IP.
Yes, that's what I've heard as well. Also, I heard that it is not going to be, by definition, by formal definition, a complete functional lift and shift from Commvault Complete Backup and Recovery to Metallic. Instead, it's going to provide services as needed by customers. And these are customers in the 250 to 5,000 or 500, is it?
500 to 2,500
employees.
Employees, yeah.
So it's lower scale than Commvault's existing high-end enterprise customers. And functions will be added as those customers demand it. So, for example, Salesforce was included in the beta test, but is not included in the released product
right
at the moment.
Mm. So it's interesting that you've got that sort of different market, because we always think of Commvault as really big enterprise, perhaps. Mm-hmm. This is more mid-market. And I think that makes me think of two things there, really. First of all, one, was Commvault too complex as a product for the mid-market? And two, is the mid-market moving towards thinking SaaS is a perfectly good way to back up their data and not wanting to put in dedicated backup equipment anymore?
I think you're humming at a tune there that a lot of people are humming away at. If I wanted backup and recovery, and I was a mid-market organisation at the moment, and I was wanting to do it on-premises, then I have to get the infrastructure to do that. And that's CapEx,
yep,
by and large. If I take a SaaS service from the cloud, then it's OpEx, it's subscription licensing. I have a little bit more control over how much data I send to the cloud and how much is stored there and how long for. So altogether, it's a cheaper offering to get on board.
Yep. I'm going to throw a little spanner in that works, and that is hyperscale.
Bang.
Yeah, because you'd think that the appliance model would have been the feature to target that mid-market. And obviously, that's where Rubrik Cohesity have probably got a better sweet spot, is that mid-market size. So does that mean Metallic competes against hyperscale when they go out and sell this stuff? You know, how are they going to differentiate which customer should take one and which should take the other?
I don't know whether Commvault have been calculating here or really smart. I'm inclined to the really smart, because Metallic can back up data and send it to AWS or Azure, or it can send it to on-premises target. And that on-premises target would be a hyperscale appliance, for example.
It could be that. It could be an object store you've built for yourself. But you're right. I mean, it could be hyperscale on-prem. And obviously, it's targeting a slightly different set of applications in the sense that it's targeting the cloud-native ones. And I'm not sure whether you would ever consider backing up Office 365, Salesforce, to your own on-premises application. You'd back it up to the cloud, and it's already in the cloud anyway as an app. Just leave the data in the cloud. So from that perspective, those applications probably are better served by Metallic. But then you're now in the situation where, should I use Hyperscale or should I use Metallic for my VMs and my SQL Server and all of those things? Customers might have a bit of a confused message around how they should actually do that. And I don't know whether that was really discussed this week.
I didn't hear that coming out. I think you're right. I think there's going to be a positioning problem, a positioning definition between Hyperscale and Metallic.
So if we think about what Metallic is and dig in a bit more, you could, for example, lift and shift and run Commvault in the cloud, because effectively that's what Hyperscale is. It's just Commvault software running on an appliance. But the cloud's a different beast. And if you're going to serve 100,000 customers, say, or 10,000 customers, running 10,000 instances of the software in the cloud would be a ludicrous thing to do. But they have told us they're not doing that they're doing it native, from what we've said. What do you think about that whole ability to run the software?
I think they're going to be multi-tenant, and I think it is built with scale-out in mind. I think the Commvault people doing this are smart enough to realise that potentially the whole of Commvault's customer base are customers for Metallic, and we're talking about tens of thousands of individual accounts here. It has to be hyperscale from the start.
I think I agree, and in the conversations that we had yesterday, it was highlighted that they've gone and used some of the native features. Now, just as an interesting point, this runs in Azure and not in AWS. So whereas if you look at, say, Druva, they're an AWS-only vendor at the moment.
Clumio is AWS?
Yeah. Commvault have gone Azure. But I think part of that might be because they have a partnership with Microsoft, and maybe that, you know, allowed them to be to sort of leverage that partnership a bit more. But it just shows you that if you're using the native solutions, then you have to go and start to understand how those features work in that platform. So, you know, if you're using, say, a key value store, or you're using the blob store, or those sorts of things. So I think they have done that. But obviously, there are challenges running any sort of SaaS offering and making sure you're not having things like outages or downtime or whatever. So that's going to be really interesting to see how they make that side of it work.
I think this is a version one product. It's a step through the doorway into a world that's quite different from the on-premises backup world. And people like Druva and Igneous and Clumio have got things like parallel ingest, deduplication, and lots of other good features to make better use of the cloud, tiering to different cloud tiers, for example, S3, Glacier, Glacier Deep Archive, and so on. At the moment, as far as I understand it, Metallic just goes to one tier in the cloud. It'll probably go to more than one in the future.
Yes. So just whilst we'll move on from the technical side, one thing I thought was really interesting was that Metallic was described as a separate project within the company, described as a Commvault venture. Yeah, exactly. And was a team that was cherry-picked from the rest of the company. I don't know whether you heard that discussion, but over dinner earlier in the week, we were talking about how they built the team. So the Metallic team got the choice of going and picking the best people from within Commvault, and they only employed a few people from the outside. So they've obviously gone in and built a Skunk Works organisation internally. And that's a really interesting way of developing a product.
It has its pros and cons. We're all got memories of NetApp and FlashRay and that Skunk Works project, which came to nothing in the end. The idea of having it as a separate venture, that certainly gives it its own identity. It's almost an arm's length separation between Commvault mainstream and Metallic. And that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it's quite positive in lots of respects, because it can make it look to external customers who maybe are not Commvault customers already. They might look at it and think, great, I don't have that legacy of knowing what Commvault was, and I guess the myth of it being very complicated to install and license and so on. So I think that's a good thing. The one thing I wasn't really clear is this whole idea of it being sold through partners. So you can go on and log in on the website and register, but you'll get pushed to a partner to be supported because they still want to protect the channel.
Yes. Technically, they don't actually need partners. All you need is a website with a sign-up page on it, and customers roll along to the website and sign up, and there you are. All the margin for this product is kept with Commvault.
Yeah.
Instead, it's distinctly and most definitely said it's a partner-led sale. and you have to go through partners to sign up and get support and so on and so forth, which I think is absolutely great from the partner's point of view, but also says Commvault is willing to share the margin for this with its partners.
Yeah.
And it's willing to sacrifice that margin for the health of the partner's channel and for growing the business, because partners will get more people through a gateway than having your own single central gateway, which somehow people have got to be told about.
Did you look at the partners? I'm not sure whether they were the same partners that you see across Commvault already or whether they're new partners. I didn't look at that.
There were a select 4 or 5, I think, and I'm not sure whether they're existing partners or not. I was careless, I didn't check.
Yeah, the reason I say that is because clearly if they're existing partners, then those partners will be looking at it and saying, oh, I've now got two options, which is good for me. You know, I can offer my customers something either on-prem or in the cloud.
Mm.
But if they're new partners, I'm not sure how that sort of works, because that sort of, unless those new partners also are now going to sell the on-prem stuff.
They must be existing partners.
Yeah, it would make sense. Mm. What else do we need to cover? What have we missed?
This idea of separate branding of a unit.
Let's talk about that.
It's very odd to me, because sometimes it's used to provide strength, background strength, to a weakling. So DDN brought the IP ashes of failed Tintery, and now Tintery is known as Tintery by DDN.
Yes.
DDN bought the software-defined storage company NetCentre, which by some accounts was a bit of a rescue, and that's also known as NetCentre by DDN. So both Tintery and NetCentre get the strength of DDN while still having their own separate branding.
Yeah.
Other companies don't do this separate branding idea at all. Dell EMC don't do EMC by DDN or VMware by Dell. It's VMware or Dell EMC. And NetApp doesn't do separate branding either. They've got product brands, but they don't have separate venture brands. So it's an interesting departure for me by Commvault, and I'm really quite interested to see where it goes with this.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that, of course, Metallic was new, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Hedvig acquisition has given them another piece, which obviously was a separate company, but it's still been called Aventure as well. And then you've got other products like Activate, which is effectively a separate product because it's doing the analytics. So maybe this is an attempt to broaden the portfolio, make it look stronger and bigger, and use the branding method that you just said, Chris, to do that with.
In which case, we might assume that we're going to see Activate Aventure by Commvault.
Yes, it could be, and why not? I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be working just on Commvault data coming from the backup system. So it could well be a standalone venture, just like everything else is.
Yes, that could be put into a NetApp shop or an HP shop and do its job there just as well as it could do it in a Commvault shop.
And that may be part of the transformation of the company in terms of trying to become a data management company rather than just a data protection company. And we've talked about this, about whether this has been done before, and we're sort of not sure whether we think it has.
My thinking about this is that no backup company has ever stepped outside its data protection boundaries and been successful at doing it. In fact, I can't think of a data protection company which has stepped outside its boundaries. There have been attempts to twin data protection and security, Symantec and Veritas being the main one, and we all know how that happened.
Yeah.
Veritas now being in private ownership hell and struggling like hell to define a new role for itself. So Commvault's doing something quite distinctly different here. It's saying we're going to step outside our core data protection area, and we're going to do it by going through a data management route and seeing a future where data management spans both primary and secondary storage being Commvault's home, and therefore we'll be able to offer primary storage, Hedvig, under that kind of data management umbrella.
Mm.
It's a novel idea. Nobody else is doing this.
And it certainly maybe demonstrates the attempt that the company has gone through to both replace some of the senior management, as we know, but also just to broaden itself and make itself more attractive to the wider market.
Yes. I think Commvault needs to grow. It needs to grow substantially, but the opportunity to grow with virtual server machines has been taken by Veeam and owned by Veeam already. There's no obvious place where Commvault can get a large amount of growth in the data protection market. So it has to grow outside it. In a way, it's been forced to make this choice.
Yeah.
And I think that the company's had a good look round, under Sanjay's encouragement, set its mark on the software-defined storage market, and that's where it's definitely gone. It's very courageous.
Mm. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, I mean, for now, we've seen it as a new product come to market. Maybe we should look at it in 12 months' time, because we're going to see separate P&L for Metallic. So they will have to report it in their accounts. As, you know, we'll see what the revenue was from sales. It'll be really interesting to see where it gets to.
And it'll be very interesting to see how hyperscale progresses as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Acronis has a hyper-converged backup offering. It's going to be fascinating to see how these things develop, because I think if Commvault's pitch is seen as sensible by other suppliers in this market, they will do the same thing.
Yes, and then it becomes a question of how quickly can other vendors bring a SaaS offering to the market that works efficiently in the public cloud. You know, you can already get lift and shift backup appliances running in the cloud, which are literally just the same backup appliance, but the cloud isn't as reliable per VM, per instance, mm-hmm. as a solution that might be sitting on-prem is, and backup's pretty important. You don't want it to break. You don't want to lose it. There is an engineering process that needs to go through to make sure you can scale to cope with the demands of an enterprise. It's not going to be that simple.
Are you saying that you think possibly that in this area, Commvault is going to have to take on some of the attributes, some of the responsibilities of a hyperscaler? When you say hyperscaler, are you talking about that level?
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that if you take the existing product was designed to sit on a physical server or multiple servers in a data center, which are already highly resilient, which have probably got 5 nines resiliency on them, and so on. But you can't just lift that and drop it in the cloud. So other vendors who are coming to the market who've got backup products that look similar can't just lift and shift their products to the cloud either, because they'll have the same problem as Commvault did in terms of having to rewrite the application to work for the cloud.
Let me see if I can play that one back. So I want to, in theory, lift and shift my on-premises backup functionality to the cloud, but I don't have my backup infrastructure and all its solidity and security there.
Absolutely.
I have to put it in place in the cloud. And also, my on-premises infrastructure for a particular customer will support, for argument's sake, 5 data centers and 10,000 endpoints. When I'm doing this in the cloud across multiple customers, I'm looking at 5,000 data centers and 10 million endpoints.
Absolutely.
Or even worse.
Yes.
So I am going to have to take on some of the attributes of a low-end hyperscaler, a
yep.
Facebook or so forth.
Yep, you're going to have to manage that application at scale.
Well, wow.
Yeah, well, we've already seen it, haven't we? So IBM brought out Spectrum Plus, which is a separate product for running in the cloud. They don't run the old TSM product directly there, although I think you can, but you wouldn't. We saw Veritas do the same thing. They brought out a specific cloud-based product, and they didn't just lift and shift net backup into the cloud, so they've done it as well. So all of these vendors are starting to do that with new products.
Veeam, rumour has it, is going to do something as well.
Right, so the big challenge then becomes, how am I going to make sure that my data is consistent across both platforms? Currently, on the IBM and the Veritas solutions, you cannot mix and match. You can't just say, I'll restore the data that I backed up in the cloud back to my on-prem and vice versa. You're building two separate backup environments with two separate
solutions. It's two silos, Chris.
It's entirely, yeah.
And connecting those two silos, how are you going to do it? You're going to have to put an abstraction layer across the top of them somehow, which connects the metadata from one to the metadata
yes.
from the others.
Yeah. Or you have to have written your system so that the backups are self-referencing, which Commvault's backups are. They have the metadata within the data, and therefore you may be able to just move point the on-prem version at the other one and just allow it to work. You know, that might work perfectly well too. You know,
but that's a one-way street.
But that is it might be a one-way street. It depends on how they've decided to implement it. So there's still going to be some real nuances come out here about how this works. I don't think we've quite got all the answers yet.
Tune in, listeners, for next week's exciting episode.
Absolutely. So I think at that point, let's call it quits, and we'll make a note of all of these things we need to come back and watch in the next 12 months and see where it gets. But for now, Chris, thanks for joining.
Thank you for a fascinating conversation, Chris.
And we'll catch up soon.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.